Ladies and gentlemen, the captain has turned off the seatbelt sign and you are free to move around the cabin. I'd like to remind you though, for your safety, please keep your seatbelt fastened.
Non-Rev Lounge is a travel and aviation podcast. Tyler and Monique are siblings that both work for a major airline in Phoenix, Arizona. During this podcast, they will discuss using their flight benefits to travel the world, as well as talk about things that happen at work. They have guests on almost every week to share their travels and stories, leaving tips on the best places to travel or things to do. Enjoy.
Welcome to Non-Rev Lounge. This is show number 9. We are really excited for today's show. My name is Tyler.
And I'm Monique. Let's get to know Andrew and Andrew. They both work for airlines and have flight benefits. This is a first for us because they reached out to us and said it would be fun to be on and chat with us about non-revving.
So to our listeners, if you are like these guys and you think you could add to our show, if you have stories that would go well for what we do, then reach out to us. Find us on Twitter or Instagram or email us and let us know and let's start a conversation. Maybe you'd be a good guest to just like these guys are going to be today. So the first Andrew we have is like myself. He's a baggage handler, only he works out in Dallas. He's had flight benefits for just over a year now and he seems to use them to their fullest. But before we even started the show and it was just kind of in the idea stages, I remember seeing one of his posts on Instagram. It was back November 29th, so right before we started our first show, and it said that he was taking his 138th flight from Dallas to Detroit. And I remember thinking, this is the kind of person we need to have on the show. Flies all the time, uses his benefits. So before this Andrew even reached out to us, I kind of knew this is the kind of guy we wanted. Andrew shares a lot of his photos from his flights, so you can find him on Instagram at DFW Aviation. Welcome to the show, Andrew.
Yeah, thank you. Glad to be here. Yes, I've worked for my current airline for, it'll be a year in 3 weeks, I think. 4 weeks, February 19th. And then before that, I worked at FedEx Express at my local airport, which is a little bit closer to me. I worked there for about a year and a half, and they gave us Zed 6 months in. So I had Zed, which but at that point, I didn't really know what flight benefits were, like how to use them. I knew Zed was the bottom of like the totem pole, I guess you could say, but and you got to pay a little fee. But I used them a couple times. First trip was to Atlanta and back for the day, visit my friend Chris out there. I didn't fly too much on the Zed, mainly just because that was before COVID and flights are more full. But yeah, year and a half.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that FedEx gave Zed fares to their employees. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that is really
cool. So if you work for FedEx Express, which I worked on the airplanes, I was basically a ramper. Yeah, 6 months in, you get flight benefits. Same Zed as you get with any other mainline carrier. So it's not bad. But first, I'm glad I started off with that than having real flight benefits because it didn't spoil me. So, which I'm glad about. But
all right, so let's introduce our other Andrew that's with us today. He has his own flight benefits now for about a year. And he also grew up with flight benefits with his dad. He works for a regional airline in St. George, Utah, and he is a crew scheduler for them. We're excited to hear about some of his trips he's taken. This Andrew shares his flights on Instagram. You can find him at Airport Photos. We're going to share both Andrew's information on our show notes and then on Instagram and Twitter. So welcome to the show, Andrew.
Great to be here. I've been waiting a long time to kind of share some of these experiences with people. Flying around on employee benefits has changed my life for the greatest. I absolutely love to do it. I'm excited to be here.
We're really glad you guys reached out to us. So why don't you take a second and let us know how you guys met, where you guys know each other from, just a little bit about your aviation background.
So I kind of want to take this one first a little bit, just to the other Andrew. So I actually remember it was in June of 2018. People from all over the place had a conversion on Houston to go and experience this thing. There's a regional airline there, a now defunct one, that is, they opened up their maintenance hangar and they let everyone go in and basically have free reign to go in and go inside the planes, go up on the scaffolding to go and, you know, touch the tail and all that other kind of stuff that was up there. And we basically just got to use the maintenance hangar as like a playground. And that's where I met Andrew for the first time. And then about a year later, we had both ended up having flight benefits for the same airline, and ever since then we've been flying almost on the monthly. We met up in Dallas. Since then it's been a constant free-for-all. We've been all over the place. We've been across oceans together and gone and done a lot of stuff and numerous Admirals Club visits. Yeah.
So you guys have been doing this for a year and a half, or how about, so back to 2018, or since you guys got the benefit?
We've known each other since 18, but really flying since I think June. Because so when COVID hit, I took a 3 month leave. So I stopped. My last day of work was July 8th, and my leave went through September 31st. And then the big furlough date was October 1st. I ended up getting furloughed, yes. But then I applied for 2 year leave, but the furlough overrode that. But I still had flight benefits. Everything was normal. Obviously now I'm back to active, I guess. Still on that 2 year leave. But yeah, since I got off work in July, that's when we've really been hitting the road with the flying.
How many flights did you end up last year? Because I said you hit, when I saw you, at 138, and I know you had a few more. Do you know how many?
I had one 159.
Nice.
I think he had...
I had 286 flies last year. Yeah.
Holy Moses.
So we're pretty frequent flyers.
Do you work full-time? You're for a little bit in St. George. Are you full-time or a part-time employee?
I work full-time, 40 hours a week. And last year, I averaged right around 45 hours a week. Because whenever I'm at home, I try to be working every single day to be able to keep up with my, I guess you could say, flying habit, flying addiction, whatever. It's like, you know, I do a lot of swapping around and I work a ton. You guys just happen to catch me on a day where I'm off. I tried to pick up today, I tried to pick up a shift. I couldn't do it because everyone was working. Yes, I do work full time.
Okay, so that's what I was wondering because I wasn't sure. You said your crew scheduling.
Yeah, so I work in front of a whole bunch of monitors. I take phone calls. I monitor FAA legalities for pilots and flight attendants. You know, there's a lot of unforeseen circumstances in aviation. And, you know, if a crew member is going to go over their time, I need to recrew a flight, get someone taken off and sent to a hotel to get rested, that kind of thing. So I'm one of the 50 people in my department who has to go through and take calls from people and coordinate legalities. So it can be stressful, especially when you have like a snowstorm moving through a hub or something like that. But it's worth it very, very much because of what I get to do on my weekends.
That's what I know from the ramper's perspective and the gate agents. Our jobs are pretty flexible. I didn't realize yours was as flexible as it would be, but you could travel that much. You know, as I can go and I can work doubles or triples, even being a part-time worker, and then take weeks off and travel like crazy. But I didn't assume that yours would be.
I'm definitely not that flexible, but I am flexible enough. I've been working at my airline now for 18 months, and I haven't never gotten more than 5 days off.
So when you fly, you just fly as much as you can just to fly?
Sometimes. Other times I do go and I visit places, but usually it's for like a day.
Being a regional airline, do you get benefits on all the ones that your regional covers?
Yes.
How many airlines is
I get like no cost, no Zed free benefits on 4 major U.S. airlines. I believe they're the top 3 largest and then the 5th largest. So, but yeah, so there's it'll be cool because there'll be some airports I go to where 9 out of 10 flights I can just go and list for and just be on there standing by for a seat. It is a lot of flexibility and I'm very, very lucky. I get lower priority than you guys who work for mainline, but it never seems to be that big of an issue.
Sounds like we need to go get a regional job. Depends on where you're going, I'm assuming. That'd be nice to have all the different benefits. And
yeah, every so often, like there was one time I flew American to Barcelona and then Delta back, and you know, all the American non-revs that day were all in the back because there was nothing open, and then Delta had seats in Delta One. So it's that kind of flexibility is something that you simply just can't get anywhere else. And me being able to work at the company I do, which I can would notice that you can't get that kind of flexibility anywhere else. And I'm sure.
Yeah, that is pretty amazing. So I'm sure you guys have stories where things didn't work out. So will you go through and share a non-rev story with us where you're traveling somewhere and it didn't work out?
I slept in Dallas once and it smelled like urine. And I was like, but I was too tired to go move to like a different gate. But I was like, it stinks so bad here.
Inside the Dallas airport. Yeah. That's one of my kind of tips and tricks. If you get stuck anywhere, you get stuck in Dallas because there's actually stuff that's open and things you can, you know, it's a little more bearable.
You were in Atlanta for 3 days, kind of like the guy in Chicago.
That guy in Chicago was there for 3 months. Oh my gosh. That was crazy. But yeah, so this was back when I was like 10 years old, but I still remember it vividly. And I've got a lot of, I remember all. We had gone to Atlanta right before Memorial Day weekend. And this was, I think, 2011. This was when that big tornado had hit Joplin, Missouri. And there was that big line of storms that just pushed through almost the entire nation. And everything was just so, so, so messed up. It was the first week of summer. There was that big weather system. And it was Atlanta of all places. You know, heaven or hell, you're going through Atlanta. That's what they say. We were trying to get back from Georgia. That's where my mom's. We just kept trying and trying and trying. And at this point, we only had Delta and United to work with, which only, right? I know, but our closest major airport was Las Vegas. But we tried for flights 3 days in May: Vegas, Salt Lake City, Phoenix, Tucson, San Jose, San Francisco, Portland, Seattle, anywhere west. We ended up spending 3 nights in SkyWest's crew hotel that we got a discount on because my dad worked there. I remember this specifically. The first day I was there, we went to the Chick-fil-A in the Atlanta airport, and I just continually, I never threw away away my cup for 3 days.
Smart kid.
So we just, every single time we passed A11 going from gate to gate to gate to gate, I would just, you know, grab another Diet Coke and just, you know, just keep going. So it was that my mom was proud of me for that. That was a nightmare. We didn't get home until 3 days later. We ended up having to fly from Atlanta to Houston. Then we got stuck in Houston for 10 hours trying for flights to Salt Lake City and Las Vegas before finally making one and making it back to St. George 3 days after we started. We spent less time in Georgia than we did in Atlanta. Yeah. This was last December, so about just over a year ago. I was trying to go to Milan. The flight from JFK to Milan looked like it was so wide open. It was crazy. I'm like, oh, I might as well go. So I figured out a way there. It was going to be Vegas, Chicago, Buffalo, JFK, Milan. Pretty easy. There just wasn't a direct flight from Las Vegas to JFK. No big deal. So I get to Buffalo. The flight from JFK to Milan cancels because of snow in New York City. Then it starts to dump snow in Buffalo. And it's a blizzard. It is a blizzard. Full on blizzard. Tried for a Chicago flight, Philly. I tried Dulles on United. They're either full, a couple got canceled here and there. And then all of a sudden, the north end of the airport, the power goes out. The power goes out. So there were two planes that were stuck on the tarmac for over 4 hours, just with people out there just completely stranded. And, you know, enough people had just given up and gone home that I ended up actually getting on the flight from Buffalo to Atlanta. And I cut the Milan plans. I went to Atlanta and then I went back home the next day because it was a big mess. So that was a time where nothing worked out.
I can't think of any time I went wrong. I don't really go to places to go. I just fly. So like, one flight doesn't look good, I'll go to a different one.
That's what this year, for the most part, flights have been pretty open. We go to Salt Lake a lot, and when our airline was restricting down to 85%, and so it was tough for us. We were able to, that wasn't even terrible, but the year before, when the maxes went down and our union was having issues, that was 2019. That was tough.
It was a bad summer.
That's what we were going to Kona. They canceled our flight to Kona, and then we got there, and then coming back, they canceled it this last year. So give it some time, you'll get your stories for us.
See, I think I've heard y'all family in Salt Lake City.
Yeah, so that's where we grew up.
Because that's like all my family's out in Charlotte. So I go there like quite often. That's like one of my top five routes is Dallas, Charlotte, Charlotte, Dallas. So I love it out there. I mean, even getting out of Charlotte, not really any issues. I go with my parents a lot because it's my mom's family out there. We've had to go through like Orlando a couple times to Dallas. Me and my dad went through DC once. Nothing too crazy, but because Charlotte, usually direct Charlotte, Dallas is kind of full. So
the hub to hub, yeah.
Yeah. Or maybe last time me and my dad went through Austin. So we've gone a couple.
It's not bad when you're going hub to hub because they add, just because you've got those different options when you're going hub to hub. That's nice.
Yeah. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Do you guys seem to go to Charlotte a lot? All of you guys. Well, I know you do, Andrew, because I've been there with probably 10 times still.
Not necessarily, no. I won't necessarily avoid Charlotte, but I don't necessarily try to go through Charlotte.
That's the same with me. The Charlotte airport is like, there's so many passengers there, but they have no more room to expand, and it just gets tight. It gets really tight. There are so many people there, and I'm just going to be the first to say, if you find a Zed option through Charlotte, and you're not super equipped with it, it's just an extreme rush of people, worse than any other airport in this country, you know, don't go through there. It can be a mess, especially if there's like one delay. It gets really bad.
Yeah, it seems like it's kind of hit and miss.
Yeah, Charlotte is a very, very hit and miss place, worse than almost anywhere else I've traveled through recently.
It seems like it depends on who you talk to. People will say that about a lot of airlines at airports still. Mm-hmm. I mean, we had one of our guests, Rebecca, said she doesn't go to Chicago because she's had bad experiences there. I know people in Phoenix will avoid Dallas, even though there's so many flights, so everyone has their places. So some people hate going through Miami.
Oh, see, Miami's like my third most visited airport in the country.
Really? So yeah, so if it works for you. And that's so when we go to New York, we usually look to go Phoenix to LA so we can either be on the 21T or now the 777. But just because, yeah, if it's open, we'd rather go early and get a LA flat if it's possible. So
yeah, and see, just last week I tried to do that exact thing. Dallas, LA, JFK, LA, or the Dallas, LA got in late. So I missed. Because I've done the 21T countless times, but I want to do the 777 now.
You and me have done that 21T and that 777W from Miami to LA so many times.
Yeah, I was gonna say Miami LA is like our
I had Miami
route.
LA last year. I did it five times, four times on the 777W and one time on 21.
Is it so you guys know all the late night gate agents in LA?
I actually, funny enough, I was in LA last week and I went to the Admirals Club and the lady recognized me.
Did she?
And I was like, she's like, you know where you go, you've been here before, right? Like, and she like knew me, and I was like, well, that's kind of cool.
You're like a regular.
That's happened to me a couple times. The people, there's an agent for American in Las Vegas who has recognized me. There's an agent in Rochester, New York for American who says hi to me every time I come up to her. I was going down to the escalator one time at LAX and some people looked at me and be like, yo, your airport photos. And I'm like, yeah. every so often stuff like that'll happen. I have been stopped in the past 5 years, probably once a year by just like someone randomly. It's all like, I follow you on Instagram. I was boarding a flight once in Chicago going into Salt Lake City. This girl just walks up to me and she looks at me dead in the face. She's like, I think I follow you on Instagram. I'm like, really?
I had that happen once. A CSM in DFW, I was going to Chicago. A CSM recognized me. She had my boarding pass. She goes, are you guy on Instagram? I said, yeah. She goes, I recognize name on the boarding pass. Oh,
that
cool.
Happened once in Charlotte to me when I was going to Toronto. He's like, here you go, airport photos. And I'm like, excuse me? You said what? And he's like, yeah, I follow you. You got good stuff. And I'm like, okay, thanks.
Yeah, so let's hear about one of your guys' favorite non-rev memories.
This is our London trip. Before we had, a couple weeks before this, we were all, our other friend Abe, he didn't have his passport at the time, it was expired. And me and Andrew were texting and we were like, yo, I want to go to London. And cause I'd never been out of the country before, or I'd never been to Europe before. I was like, yo, we got to go to London soon. Cause like, I was always open, you know, whatever. I forgot where he went from to Miami, but we decided on Miami, London, and then so I had to use a D1 to get to Miami. Surprising. I got premium economy on 777, like one of the last one to get on. I got there. The London flight left at once it was like 8 at night, and I got there like 10 a.m. at noon or something like that. And another guy on Instagram named Anthony. I'd never been him before, so he picked me up at the airport, took me out. We went spotting, took some pictures at Miami, showed me all the good spots. We ate lunch for a couple hours, took me back to the airport, and Andrew was there. And where'd you come from, Andrew? Where'd you fly in from?
I came from Philly like an hour before the flight left.
There's 8 flights at first. There was like 5 open or something. We were like, yeah, we're the only 2 on the list. Hey, we get our boarding passes. I think I was in...
We're 1A and 2A.
1A, 2A? Yeah, okay. I was in 1A, you were in 2A, that's right. We had the sweetest flight attendant.
Those are good seats, nice windows.
Yeah, 100%. We had the sweetest flight attendant. She was like she was really senior, and she told us that was her second to last flight before she retired. Or her second to last trip. She did that flight every week, once a week. London, Miami, London, and back. And that's all she did every week. And that was her second to last one. Now that's kind of cool. And they handed us our pajamas and our slippers and our amenity kits and all the cool stuff. And with that, the flight time was what, 8.5, 8:15?
Yeah, I was about 8:15 going over there.
That was like my third long haul ever. I went to Sydney, but luckily it was red eyes. We both slept, I think, most of the flight. Got dinner and slept. Now, Andrew, tell them what happened before we took off and the flight attendant, the one you knew, and she gave her phone to call her.
So I had flown from Miami to Paris earlier that year, and I asked the flight attendant, I'm like, hey, do you know so-and-so flight attendant? I had her as my flight attendant on this flight from Miami to Paris earlier this year. And she said, like, yes, she's literally my best friend. And she handed me her personal cell phone and dialed her number just so I could go and, like, speak to the flight attendant that I had, because her and I had like a really good rapport. She was older. She didn't have like active on social media or anything like that, but I definitely remembered her name. And those were definitely the 2 sweetest flight attendants I'd ever had, her and then the one I was going to talk to on the phone. And I was able to leave her a message because she didn't answer, but I definitely know her name and I'll see her again. But now they're both retired. It is sad, but that was interesting to have her just dial her number right in front of me. I'm like, wow, that was interesting.
We flew overnight. I think we landed in London at 7. It was like 8 a.m. because there was a flight going out to Chicago on the Dreamliner at like 9:30. And we were like, oh, we might be able to catch that one.
You got held up in freaking UK security.
Yeah, we ended up not catching that one. But we landed the airline we flew on.
Wait, you guys flew there just to fly back?
Correct. Our plane was stay there for 3 hours and fly back to this. So we never crossed
the border, technically.
Customs. We got there. We got off the plane. We followed the signs for all the connections and all that. We literally had to walk like half a mile underground. Yeah, but where American used to be in T3, didn't they, or T4? Absolutely stunning. And so we walk underground, follow all these signs. We go up all the escalators, and then we get to like TSA. Which we know in the States, and that
they're not as efficient in like we thought the US was not efficient in getting passengers processed through security. And then we went to the UK. Well, I had been to the UK before, but for some reason it wasn't as bad as the time where we went last September. We were like, I don't know, there were maybe 10 people in front of us and it seemed to take half an hour.
It wasn't like the US where they pull your bag aside and they check it. They pull your bag aside, they unzip it and dump it upside down and dump everything out and go through it. And there was like, because his bag got pulled and there was like 2 people in front of him and we just had to wait because they couldn't give him his bag. And I was already through and I was
they
like...
They didn't like the amenity kit from the flight. It had mouthwash in it. And they're all like, this needs to go in a separate bag. And I'm like, you literally just took it out of the sealed plastic bag that it was in. That made me angry to say the least, but I think I still have that mouthwash, honestly. It's in my bathroom.
Did they hassle you because you were just going right back and it looked suspicious? Is that why? Or is it just happened to be you guys got...
They didn't know. They didn't know where we...
Oh, okay.
No, because they didn't ask for boarding pass. I don't think at security. Because we never left security. We just went to the connecting line and went back in. Because to go back into the UK terminal, you got to go through like their TSA.
So when you guys did that, because we have to pay taxes when we go to London. And like my wife and I flew coming back from Helsinki to London to Phoenix. And because we started in Helsinki, we paid their taxes instead of London. So do you remember what those taxes were like? Or did they not have to because you were connecting?
The reason we were going because... I think I've seen Monique in some of them, but some Facebook groups. I've seen a few people, they were cooped up for months. They wanted to go international, fly a long flight. So they were doing the London turns, like doing different cities like we did. And yeah, so if you just go to London, or say I went Dallas, London, Dallas, it'd be about $170, I think, for taxes. But yeah, like you said, we were connecting. So we ended up paying about $80 for round trip. I went Miami, London, Dallas. He went Miami, London, JFK.
You have to list for it in the same reservation, though.
But then funny enough, like I posted on Facebook in one of those groups about our trip. I posted a bunch of pictures and like telling people like, oh, you can do this if you want to, blah, blah. It had like 1,000 likes in this Facebook group. Like it kind of blew up. And I guess somebody upper management, maybe they saw that. And then, or the gate agents in London had found out that people were just turning around. So they now did it to where you can't get connecting status in London. So you have to pay the full tax. So
apparently there was a written rule, like a UK government rule that says if you originate in one country, connect through the UK, just go back to the other country, that the regular UK tax does still apply. And after the fact, I did go on and realize that was correct. So they now, from what I hear, is that if you go to London, they do check your boarding pass whenever you have, like, you know, the transfer symbol on there to see where you came from. You can still have transfer priority. You can't, they just make it so you have to pay the regular tax, though. And we did not know that.
Yeah, because I guess our airlines
went and did that.
Yeah, because I guess our airlines system automatically did the connecting tax no matter where you came from.
Because I had done Copenhagen and Frankfurt to London and then back to the States, and I had gotten the reduced tax.
Yeah. I remember seeing those people talk about it too. They wanted to fly same as, like, maybe it was even you that I saw in that group. And it was, as long as you're a through passenger, you know, I didn't realize that. So that's new to me. So, well, nice.
Yeah, and then I flew back to Dallas, 2D or whatever the aisle is, flagship first. And then he flew the 777W back to JFK.
You need to go back once the things are open and spend some time in London. London's great.
Yeah, and my cousin just moved there like a couple months ago and I want to go visit her. So she said, whenever everything lightens up, come see me. I said, all right.
All right. So Andrew, how about you tell us your story? One of your big exciting non-rev stories.
The biggest and most exciting one ever was last year, like 10 days before the world came to a grinding halt. I got the itch one night to I knew kind of like, you know, the world was gonna just go south. So I decided to build an around-the-world itinerary, never leaving the airport.
The night before, he posted on Instagram. He said, if you got a first-class ticket around the world tomorrow, would you go? And it's like right when COVID blew up. And I remember he got like so much hate for that. People like, no, don't go, don't go.
Yeah, there were people that were kind of wondering. And, I decided to just go for it. So I packed a bag before work, and then I left work at 5 in the morning. And I drove to the Vegas airport, which is about 2 hours from my house. I flew from Las Vegas to San Francisco to Singapore in United Polaris, 17 and a half hours, the longest flight I've done to date. I cleared customs in Singapore. They asked me, hey, have you been to either of these countries, which was just China and Iran at that point, in like the last, you know, 14 days. And I told them no. I cleared customs. I went to that big mall thing inside of the Singapore airport with the water fountain. That was absolutely spectacular. I had wanted to do that for a long, long, long time. And I finally did it. And then I decided part of this trip was going to be like, I'm going to go fly an A380 for the first and probably only time. So I had the choice to fly to either. I was going to Zed on either British Airways to London, Frankfurt or Munich on Lufthansa, or Paris on Air France. And I ended up going with British Airways to London. So I flew from Singapore to London on British Airways 12 Super. That I asked them politely to put me in an economy class seat on the upper deck, which they were able to accommodate in the window. Yeah, that was they were pretty nice about that. Here's what I did before that, though. And this works. Don't ever let anyone tell you that being nice and respectful and doing nice things for the cabin crew won't ever work, because it does. It definitely works every single time. I dressed in a full suit. I brought them treats, which is a big box of Ferrero Rochers. I introduced myself promptly and said, hi, I'm Andrew. I appreciate the ride to London. Thank you so much. I went to my seat and I wasn't there for 5 minutes before they upgraded me to an empty premium economy cabin. Empty. There's like 60 seats and there's like 10 taken. And the guy's like, yeah, just sit up here anywhere you want to. I got a better meal. The guy came and he set two glasses of champagne next to me on my little tray. And then another guy came and said thank you and brought me a bottle of water and a first class amenity kit by some fancy company in London. And like, it was great. It was insane. And that was the A380. You could have fit every single person in that A380 onto a 757. It was so empty and still had leftover seats. There was like 130 people on board the plane.
How long was that flight from Singapore?
That was 14 hours. Yeah. 14 hours from Singapore to London. And then I kept going. I stayed in the Admiral's Club in London for about 5 hours. I showered, shaved, did everything I had to do. And then I flew from Phoenix to LA and LA to Las Vegas, completing the around the world trip. Every single leg was in first class, was at least in business class. It was on the airlines I was eligible on. I was in premium economy on British Airways. You know, I got the circumnavigation done. I didn't leave the airport. It took approximately 59 hours. That was without a doubt the best trip of my life.
And how much did that cost you?
Being that while I was gone, I didn't buy anything in any of the airports even once. With the United upgrade, the departure taxes from London, it was about $425.
For a round-the-world trip. That's crazy.
Yeah. So I remember saying that thing about if you flew first class around the world, like tomorrow, would you do it? Would you be scared? And I remember leaving work that day and my dad, who was at work at the same time, he was telling me, he's like, oh, don't go. It's so dangerous. World's going to crap.
Yeah. That's what we had a trip planned to.
We were going to go to Barcelona.
Barcelona in March. We wanted to take pictures and see Barcelona. It was going to be like 3 days. Things had started happening, so flights were wide open.
Yeah.
So that's what we just wanted to lay flat. We started getting sick. We didn't have COVID, but we just said, now I wish we would have gone. But that's when Spain was starting to get hit early, but that's quite the story. Yeah, that's... You can never, because they retired the 380s, British Airways, I believe. Yep. So
a month later.
Never going to see those again. Wow. So that's a pretty cool experience. So
yes, I flew on a Qantas one. I'm glad I was able to.
That's why I want to fly on a 380 sometime.
Qantas is I did LA Sydney. Ooh, beautiful. That plane is that plane is a monstrosity and you can't feel anything on that plane.
A lot of people give the 380 kind of a bad rap.
Yeah, I actually went to Sydney and flew the last Qantas 747 One World.
Oh, I'm jealous.
That was right before I got with my current airline with Fire Flight Benefits, and I booked all with miles. I flew 747 Premium Economy, stayed in Sydney for 4 days.
That's one of my favorite
beautiful
cities ever.
Sydney is, yeah, it's beautiful.
There. You guys have been there too?
I went there, yeah, when I was 15.
Yeah, when I spent, I haven't. Oh, really? Been. That's on my list. That's on my bucket list. So actually, let's get to that next question. So I kind of gave our bucket list trips or our goals for 21. So what are you guys's, do you have anywhere? I mean, the world's kind of shut down. You guys kind of find a way. So what do you guys want to do? Or do you have any destinations that maybe not even this year you kind of...
Number one, I mean, Sydney was in my top three, no doubt. After I went there, I was like, South Pacific is an amazing place. And Auckland quickly became my top three list. And then I was excited because I was like, oh, I'm getting on with my airline. I heard they were starting flights from Dallas to Auckland on October 25th of 2020. And I was going to be like, oh, I'm going to be on that inaugural flight to Auckland. I'm going to go stay like a week. And here we are now. That flight got pushed back like a year and a half. But Auckland and then I think Dubai is like number zero on my list. So high, it didn't have a number. I think that's just my dream in life is to go skydiving in Dubai.
That's a cool goal.
Yeah. That's like, and I can make it happen. I think that's going to be insane.
Well, I think Dubai is somewhere we can go to, right? The places in the world that are open, Dubai. So
yeah. And see, Turkey was another big one that people were going to all the time because they were going like States to London to Turkey. Turkey didn't really excite me, but I've heard it's beautiful.
That's what I told my wife. I said, if things are still closed, let's look at Turkey because... Like I said, it's not my top of places to go in Europe or the world, but if it's open, we may be looking to go. And
there's only three places to go, yeah.
Yeah, so we'll see.
I'd be willing to go there and fly back. I mean, but see, I don't have Zed right now. Kind of sucks, but I wish I had Zed. One of my favorite places in the world would be Seattle, 100%. I've been there and I can't get over. I can't stop going there, honestly. That place is, every time I talk about it, I'm speechless. I don't know why. But like the Boeing factory tour, absolutely amazing. Everett Airport, beautiful. I will be there the day that tour opens back up, the Boeing tour.
Me and Monique had on our show, the guys from the Next Trip podcast that I'm friends with. And in May, they're planning a trip where they're going to do the Milk Run for Alaska, where they stop in like, what is it, four or five different cities. And then we're going to plane spot in Anchorage for like 24 hours, because in May it'll be light. So, and then fly back. Light, so if you guys are free, you guys could and come up.
Anchorage is on my list. I think you've done the milk run, haven't you?
I've done the milk run.
I want to. I was looking at Zed Fairs and looking at just buying a tickets.
Yeah. It's like $45 a leg, I think, for Zed.
Like that. It's not something that much like that. More just to buy a ticket right now than it is to Zed, all those. But, really? Yeah. So you guys should check that out if you're reading. That's what we're going to do, all those. Hopefully when we could come with us. But
my top list, and I'm going to have like for at least this year, like a realistic list, and then a couple that aren't as realistic. But I do want to go, at least this year, I want to go to St. Martin. I've never been there.
Plain spot.
Just plain spot on that beach.
Oh, my. Maho Beach, man.
Yeah. Have you been there anywhere?
No. Me and Abe almost went there a couple weeks ago, but.
Yeah. I want to go there, and then I want to go to the island of Moorea, which is in Tahiti.
Oh my God.
Right by Papeete.
Hand me a Tahiti.
I think that's how you say it.
Yeah, dude. Moorea or
Moorea.
Is it expensive?
Yeah, it is. It's really expensive. United has a flight from San Francisco to Tahiti nonstop. Yeah, it's only like 8 hours. So I want to go and do that one day. But in the last March, I had a long trip planned where I was going to stop in Melbourne, Australia, Sydney, Auckland, and then I was going to go from Auckland to Santiago, Chile on LATAM and then stop there. So four places and then go back through Miami and then back to Vegas. Just make one big loop out of it. And that was canceled because everything just shut down. But I've been to Santiago once and I just connected there. But so that's on my list, is to go do that trip over again. And then the only inhabited continent I haven't been to is Africa. So sometime before maybe 2022, if things open up, I don't know, maybe this year. I it's so unpredictable right now. I do want to go to a game reserve in South Africa or Botswana. That's on my bucket list for sure. Yeah.
When I get Zed, let's make it happen.
Yeah, we should do it. You just need to get your Zed back and we'll have to just Zed through London and go to Johannesburg or Cape Town. Those are a couple of my highest places I want to go. Oh yeah, Victoria Falls, Zimbabwe. I want to go there. That's right in the middle of Africa. It's one of the biggest natural waterfalls.
I saw like a video on it. Yeah, it's like bigger than Niagara Falls, or it's like pretty. Is it kind of like Niagara Falls though?
I'm pretty sure
is
it's higher crazy? Than Niagara Falls.
Oh, but it's beautiful.
Wow, I've never been to Niagara Falls. That's
one of my bucket lists, is Niagara Falls. I've never been.
Find a Toronto.
Like we like to leave our show and kind of leave a tip or some kind of a travel tip or something we picked up from the show. We're going to go through and kind of leave something quick, but just something that you may have, me and Monique were talking during our break. So I'll go first. My trip tip would be work at a regional airline. They get flight benefits with everyone. I mean, if people are looking and that's an option, then and you want to fly like you guys do, because having access to four different major airlines it sounds like a real perk. So that would be my, if you have the option, but just get out there and see the world. I know you guys make me jealous. Like I said earlier, I traveled a lot back for, but I did a lot of Salt Lake and back. I didn't see this around the world trip. So get out and use your benefits. You've got them. If not, then see the world. So
you're only young once. Honestly, go work for an airline, because you will go places you would never, ever think you would have been. I mean, that's just, I haven't really gone very far with my benefits, but I can't wait to see what's coming in the future. That's going to be.
Do you see people that work for your airline that don't travel?
Yes. All the time. I see on Facebook, people are like, I've been with the company 30 years. I've never flown standby before. What do I do? I'm like, well, what's the point of working for the airline?
They don't pay us enough that you can't go get another job. Yeah, I had this job for the Ben. And now that I'm long and I've.
Yeah, exactly.
It's became a career, but I got the job to fly. And if I don't fly, for me, if I don't fly every month, I'm kind of like itching. I know you guys are a lot more than that, but I have little kids and a wife. If you like to travel, then get the job.
Yeah, I mean, I got my dream job at 19. So I tell people I have my dream job. I want to stay with it forever.
Don't wait. You don't even need to like wait a second, especially if you already have the job. You know, there's always cheaper ways to travel, cheaper ways to see places. There's hostels, there's public transit, there's, you know, this doesn't need to be some big expensive thing. There's not anything holding you back. You only live one time. So go out and enjoy it while you can. No one knows what's going to happen tomorrow, you know, in their life. And that's why, if I get the itch to do something, I try and make it happen right then and there. Because in my mind, at least to me, with the opportunities I'm given, there's no excuse. I should be out there, you know, living life to the fullest always. And I think everyone can do that.
Yeah, exactly. You know.
So my tip would be, this is just from working gates in Phoenix. So if you guys are coming through Phoenix, especially internationally, our airline likes to give you like maybe 45 minute connect time. It's not enough time unless you've got global entry. But I would just keep that in mind. Like, I would give yourself at least an hour and a half to connect in Phoenix internationally. So a lot right now, what we've got is just like Mexico flights. But anyway, just that's what I would say. Phoenix, they always think that everyone can connect in like 20 minutes. So it's like, well, no, because by the time the plane parks, if you're at the back of a 21, you're not off for 10 minutes. And then I'm shutting the door on the other end 10 minutes prior. So you don't have zero connect time.
And plus customs. And if you have regular customs, you're in the back of the plane, you're in the back of the line.
Exactly. So I would just keep a heads up when you go through Phoenix. We're crazy here. Everyone go find these guys on Instagram, follow their travels. They've got a lot of fun trips. So you can find them at DFW Aviation and at Airport Photos. So then you can be one of those crazy people stopping them, waving them at them.
You want to make one note real fast. It's Airport Photos. It's F-O-T-O-S, not P-H-O-T-O-S. With an F.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so find him. He's Airport Photos with an F.
And everyone make sure and check back next week. Okay. You guys need to go out and have some more big trips. You can come back on and share with us some series. And I know you guys will. Don't doubt that. But it was fun having you guys on.
Yeah, it was nice talking to you guys. This has been a lot of fun. I can't wait to share more.
Well, once we get past COVID, come through Phoenix. And if you kind of one Andrew does a lot, the other one, look us up and we'll meet up and say hi.
Yeah, I'm trying to go out to Phoenix to meet Jason. That's how I found out about this podcast, actually. Was Jason Knapfel, they say his last name? Yeah, yeah. Because he tweeted on Twitter and I saw him and I was like, oh. And I found out about this. So
he's a cool guy, big into plane photos and stuff too.
I'll let you guys know when I'm in Phoenix again. I'm in Phoenix three times a month, probably.
Yeah, let me know for sure.
I usually see you coming through and landing and then hop on a flight and right back up to St. George. But let us know when you're going to be through.
Yeah, that's what I've been doing. Yeah, I'll definitely let you know.
I'm glad that we got that flight, though, because we didn't have the St. George for you. And I always thought it made sense for my airline to fly it, even back with U.S. Airways. But we never did till recently. So I'm glad they added it.
No, Andrew's lifeline was St. George down.
Oh, yeah. No, we're getting that back. Yeah. April 2nd, it's going daily.
I have not been to Utah. I need to check that state off, and I need to go. But I'm looking to Salt Lake City, always full because of skiing season right now.
So if you guys liked hearing these guys' stories and feel like you'd be a good guest, then message us on Instagram like these guys did, or find us on Twitter, or our email address is nonrevloungepodcast@gmail.com. So let us know if you think you'd be a good guest. We enjoyed having these guys on. They were a lot of fun. So we'd like to hear your stories as well.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. All right, see you guys next week.
Bye, guys.
This has been Non-Rev Lounge. Thanks for joining Tyler and Monique. You can find them on Instagram and Twitter by searching Non-Rev Lounge. Also, you can contact them at nonrevloungepodcast@gmail.com. They would love to hear from you. They are always looking for ideas to make their show better. If you are enjoying this show, please think about leaving a review or rating so other people can find this show. Thanks for joining us. See you next week and safe travels.